noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Now, verse number one is a commandment. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It did not say a joyful melody or a joyful, which we're going to try to make a melody, but in the spirit of tropical breezes, I know it's been hot lately, and not all of us got to go to Hawaii this year, Todd, Lisa. But I brought my soprano Hawaiian guitar tonight. Try to tune it up just a little bit. That hot weather, and then it got cold, you know. I tell you, it got so cold a minute ago, I almost shivered. It's amazing when you go from like 99 to 73, and I've got one of those thermometers on the car, you know, and we'll look and say, how hot is it now? You know, you'll look over there and say, how hot? The other day it got up 100, you know. And then we got out in the sun. I didn't get to go, and I'm sure a lot of you folks didn't, so pay close attention. This may be as close as we get this year. You may know this song. This is an old quartet song, and it really needs a really strong tenor to sing it. It came out back in the 1940s, the old Stamps Quartet, and they had someone playing the grand piano, but you got an old man with a ukulele here, so... Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. God searched through heaven and found a Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed, scarred, His side was riven. He gave His life blood for even me. He left His Father and all His riches, came down so sweet and sorry to shed His life blood on cruel Calvary to save the vilest sinner clean.
Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred. His side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me. Soon I'll be crossing this cold, dark river. His hand will lead me safely o'er. I'll join the chorus in that bright city, where I'll sing his praises forevermore. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nail-scarred. His side was riven. He gave his lifeblood for even me.
Okay. Amen. The Lord Jesus, his heart was broken on Calvary. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His heart was broken on Calvary. You know, throughout the Bible, we're commanded to sing. God especially likes singing. He likes folks that express his goodness to them through singing and through psalms and through praise. The psalm that I just read, number 100, if you're still there in your Bible, look at number 101. It says, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Number 98, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things, his right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Number 96, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Number 95, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Number 92, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. Now, our little Hawaiian guitar only had 4 strings, but I think you get the message here that God loves singing. He loves those, his children, to sing praises unto him and to give him the praise. You know, I know what some of you are saying. I can't play the radio. I get static. Well, you know, you've got digital radio now. You don't have any excuse. You know, you can turn to 95.5 WHPE, the Bible Broadcasting Network in High Point, and man, there's some good singing on there. I've got a little shop building outside. I got an air conditioner in there now. I'm on the move up, you know. But anyway, I have the radio on, and I keep it tuned to 95.5. I would say 99.9999% of the time, but once in a while I'll turn it over to a news channel, and I can't take much of that. In just a few minutes, man, I've got to turn it back. I've got to hear some of that good praise good speaking and good praise to. I really like the children's programs too. You know, they're really good. But nevertheless, I can't take much of that. I've got to hear that good singing, that praise unto the Lord. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. To show you, this just isn't something from the Psalms in the Old Testament. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, God tells us, speaking to yourselves, that's not to the dog or the cat or, your wife, your husband, or your children. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that we should be singing to ourselves. I sing to myself on the lawnmower a lot of times. When I go to mowing, it takes me 7 or 8 hours if I run and go all the way through. Of course, I have to stop and take breaks, you know. But I'll get to mowing and I'll just go to singing, you know. And I enjoy that time when I can get out there and just sing. And, you know, the Lord hears me. I'm sure nobody else does, but the Lord does. You sing in the shower, you know. You sing, if you just sing to yourself, that's... If you're singing a good song, you know, Amazing Grace or whatever you're singing it unto the Lord. And if you start doing that and meditating upon what you're saying, what you're singing, you know, don't be singing about, and I told my boys this, you know, they came along in the age of, I think it was Hank Williams Jr., or somebody like that, you know, and it was somebody, mama got run over by a train or some kind of mess like that. You know, and I told them, I said, you know what? I'd catch them once in a while. They'd have one of these tapes. They had tapes then. They didn't have these little things. You know, it was old stuff. And I'll tell you how old I am, see. But anyway, I'd catch them with that, and I'd say, you know, even the titles of these songs, you know, that's just a bunch of garbage. I said, you need to be listening and thinking about the Word of God, about the Lord, about what He's done for you. And so forth. They both turned out pretty good, not on account of me, but on account of the Lord, you see. But nevertheless, God tells us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Turn over, if you will, to a couple of books, to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Chapter 3, and look down in verse number 14. We'll start there. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Now catch this, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse 16, let the word of God, or word of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Now, how are you supposed to do that? You're supposed to take your Bible, well, the Bible says this, and crank you over the head with it, you know. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, something about a song, it's a soothing thing, isn't it? When you sing, it's soothing. If it's the right kind of music, anyway, it's a soothing thing, you know.
Johnny knows what I'm talking about. If it's a soothing song, you know, if it's based on God's Word, it says that we are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing not with an overbearing demeanor or a, you know, a holier-than-thou demeanor or a any kind of demeanor other than, it says, with grace, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's a lot there, isn't it? A lot there. Wow, what a great verse there. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, does the Bible give us any examples of folks that did some singing? Well, it sure does. One of the first ones that came to my mind was the man David, the king of Israel. You know, I don't know if this is correct, but I thumbed through the Psalms. And you know, my Bible, it says, if you turn to a psalm such as number 23, which I guess is probably the most famous psalm of all time, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And right there under Psalm 23, it says a psalm of David. A psalm of David. I counted how many times in my Bible it says that, and out of the 150 psalms, I counted 69 times that it said a psalm of David. The Lord used him to write a lot of psalms, didn't it? Well, you know, David, he did a lot of other things. He slew a bear and a lion, I think, with his bare hands, didn't he? He slew Goliath with a slingshot, you know. The Bible says he was a mighty man of valor. Look in 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 16. And we'll look at verse 16. 1 Samuel 16:16. Now what's happened now is Saul is in a bad, mad humor. The Bible says in verse 14 that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. But now in verse 16, his servants had advised Saul as to what to do. He says, now, let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person. In other words, he was a good-looking guy, and the Lord is with him. That's the most important thing, isn't it? Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him. And he, or Saul, loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found a favor in my sight. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You know, I know both of my sons, and I'll use them as examples. They're not here to defend themselves, so, you know, I'm just going to... They both took piano lessons. That's something I wished I had done. Oh, my. I don't know how many times I wish I had taken, I could learn how to play the piano. I never did. Even way back, you know, in I guess maybe 59 or something. Well, I don't know, way back. it was looked upon as boys, if they did something like that, they weren't really, you know, manly, so to speak. At least it was when I was growing up, and my sons were no different. They said, "Daddy, I want to play football. Daddy, I want to do this. I want to do that. I don't have time to learn how to play the piano." Well, here's a man. It says he was a valiant man. He was a man of war. And he was also a cunning player on the harp. The harp's an ancient instrument. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 4 that the harp was invented. It goes way back. Tells us the inventor. But I don't know anyone now that plays the harp. Do any of y'all know anyone who plays the harp? You do? Do you play the harp? Oh, you don't? Who? Your niece. Does she play the orchestral harp, that great big thing with the... She can. Wow, isn't that great? One person. It's sort of, you know, it's an ancient instrument, but it's still beautiful when you hear it played, though. I've heard it several times. Excuse me. But anyway, don't let anybody ever tell you that you shouldn't try to play a musical instrument, because it's a wonderful thing. And as you get older, your legs and your arms and your back and everything else might go out, but if you can still play an instrument, you'll get a lot of enjoyment and pleasure out of it. And you'll be a blessing to somebody else too. Excuse me. David, he wrote a lot of the Psalms. He not only could play well, but God used him to write these songs down. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 16 again. And this, we'll just do this to get some of the, we'll skip a little bit here. "And it came to pass as we went to prayer," now this is Paul and Silas, "a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." She was a fortune teller. "The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And the story goes on, and Paul became grieved at this. And he commanded this evil spirit, which it was, to come out of this young lady, and it did. And what happened? This lady's masters got mad about it, because they knew then they couldn't make any money from this lady telling fortunes. And what did they do? In verse 20, they brought them to the magistrates, that is Paul and Silas, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Now the jailer, part of his charge was if anybody got loose, the jailer, axed him. That was the way it was. You know, his life depended on all these people, the inmates being all there. Pretty tough penalty. They didn't just fire him. You know, they killed him. So, verse 24: "Who having received such charge, he thrust them, Paul and Silas, into the inner prison." I guess that's like solitary, you know, "and made their feet fast in the stocks." So he not only put them, you know, under the jailhouse, so to speak, but he really locked them up too, you know. He didn't want them getting loose. And then what happened? At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And another translation, it says they were praying and singing hymns, and the prisoners were listening. I like that. And just think about the situation Paul and Silas were in. They were not only in prison, they'd been beaten, severely beaten, you know. And it says many stripes were laid on. They were thrown in prison. They were they were put in, I guess, in solitary, you know, right in the middle of the heart of the prison, and then they were put in stocks, you know, they couldn't move. And they got to praying and singing. And they weren't just doing this to themselves. They were just singing out loud praises to the Lord. And all the prisoners heard them. And then suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Well, wow, what's going to happen now? Then the keeper of the prison, he woke up. Wakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself. He was going to fall on his sword, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because he knew it was penalty of death if they got away. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he, that is the guard, or jailer, he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The most important question that any human will ever come to ask, he asked, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, it's really not what you or I can do, but it's what the Lord Jesus has done, isn't it? It's what He has done. Not what we can do, but what He has done. You know, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus one time, they said, "Lord, what must we do to work the works of God?" And what was the Lord's answer? He said, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent." That's the work of God, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 31, Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of God, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. That's the only condition of salvation, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, you have to realize you're a sinner. You have to realize that God sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins personally, and that the only condition you have is to believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's done it all. There's nothing you can do except believe on Him. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Yet a lot of folks never come to that. They never do. God's done it all. All we have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. At midnight, they were singing, praying and singing at midnight. You don't have to turn here. Psalm 42:8 says, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." Songs in the night. Psalm 119:62, "At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee, because of Thy righteous judgments." Songs in the night. Do you ever wake up at night? Now I'm speaking to the old folks now like me, and you can't go back to sleep. I see some of you smiling. I do that quite often. I'll wake up, and sometimes it's 2 or 3 in the morning, and now I can't go back to sleep. What's the best thing I can do is to open this precious book and to start reading. A good psalm, just to read a psalm and just meditate upon it. Songs in the night. That's really good. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. David, Paul and Silas. All right, here's the best example I can come up with out of the Scriptures. It's in Matthew 26, and we'll start with verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Of course, this is the Lord's table. This is what we commemorate every Sunday morning in the first service. The next verse, verse 30, "And when they," this included the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that just for a moment. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." I can't fathom that. The Lord of glory, knowing that He was going to lay down His life and suffer a cruel and humiliating death upon the cross, He was singing a hymn of praise to God the Father. You know what? He would hang on that cross and He would say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Yet He was singing a hymn here with His disciples before He went out into the garden, knowing just exactly what was going to happen to Him. Being God, He knew all things. He was singing a hymn. You know, the Bible tells us that He should be our example. And you know, a lot of times, you know, things don't go your way. I know that very well. Things don't go your way. The older you get, the more you understand that. Things don't go your way. But as our example, when things don't go my way, I shouldn't just, poke that lip out and sit around like that, you know. I ought to be singing praise unto God, because His Son, that's what He did. He sang praise unto God the Father. Now, I've been asked this question, or I've asked myself this question, what was the hymn that they sung? What was the hymn that they sung? Well, Brother Jerry Denny, I don't think he's here tonight, but he put me on to this. And then I got to digging a little bit. And as I wasn't there, and the Bible, really doesn't tell us, but I think we can come pretty close to saying what they actually sung, what hymn they sung. I got this off of the internet. It's a fellow, I'll give you his name so I don't misquote anything. His name is Randy Harris. Randy Harris. Okay. And he cites some folks, and I think some of you will recognize some of these names. John Owen, Matthew Henry, Jonathan Edwards, David Brown, Alexander Hodge, John Broadus of the Southern Seminary, and quite a few numerous men of the Westminster Assembly. They all agree, along with Brother Jerry Denny, that, and it's a good reference, man, that they were singing Psalm number 118. If you will, turn to Psalm 118. Now, the Jewish Passover, it was commemorated by drinking of wine. They drank, I think it was 4 different cups of wine. The Passover meal included that, and the singing of what was called the Hallel, or the Hallelujah. That's the best way I can say it, the Hallelujah. And that would begin after the second cup of wine with Psalm 113. And after they sang a couple of songs, they would drink another cup of wine that would commemorate, the Passover, the shedding of the blood of the Lamb, where the angel of God passed over, the households and so forth. And it would end by singing Psalm 118. That was the very last song in at the Passover feast. And all these folks, they seem to think that this must be the song that they sung, the very last one before they went out. And well, let's just read 118 very quickly here. And I'll point out just a few things. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because, or for, He is good. Because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. The first four verses here talk of the mercy of God. You know, Psalm 103 says that as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's mercy toward them that fear Him. In other words, God's mercy, it's deep, you know, and it's wide, like the children sing. His mercy, the first four verses. Verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And then the question, what can man do unto me? Think about the Lord Jesus singing that phrase. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Wow, those two verses there, I should memorize those two. And every time I hear a political ad in this year, I should quote those to myself, shouldn't I? Verse 10, all nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Three verses here that end with the phrase, I will destroy them. You know, as there's another song, I love to hear that. You know, the next time He comes, there won't be a Calvary. Some of you know that song. Well, the next time our Lord Jesus comes, He's going to come in great power and glory. And He's going to judge this earth. You know, the book of Romans says, who is he that condemneth or judgeth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be judged. Verse 13, thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Then verse 17 and 18, I have put together, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath cleansed me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Keep your hand there and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. The words of our Lord. Well, let's look at verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now the Lord Jesus Christ did die on Calvary's cross. He did. but he did it willingly. He laid down his life, it says, that he might take it up again. Praise God. What a Savior. What a Savior. Power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The next verse says, there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. What an understatement. There's been a division over the Lord Jesus Christ since He was here on earth. I mean, amongst all people, hadn't there? Back in Psalm 18, verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone, which the builders refused, is become the headstone of the corner. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the stone that the builders refused, and He's become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now think about the Lord Jesus Christ singing that. This is the day that I'm going to be led out and crucified. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That psalm starts with mercy and it ends with mercy, the mercy of God. Very quickly, we're going to be doing some singing. Turn to Revelation, chapter number 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Verse 9, they sung a new song. There's going to be singing in heaven. There's going to be some good singing too. I can guarantee you that. Even though I've never been there, I know there's going to be some real good singing there. They're going to be playing instruments. They're going to be playing some harps there. Look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 3. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 and 4,000 which were redeemed from the earth. Now, if you got any questions about this 144,000, I'm sure one of the elders will be glad to explain that to you after the meeting. But nevertheless, they're going to sing a new song, as it were a new song before the throne. There's going to be some good singing there in heaven. Last one, and we're going to close, Revelation chapter 15, over one page. Let's just start in verse number 1, 15:1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God, or completed the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now, I don't know what that harps looks like. I can just only imagine, it's probably made out of gold, with gold strings. I'm just speculating, but they're going to have the harps of God. That's going to be a real sight to behold, isn't it? And I can only imagine what it's going to sound like. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now, there's two songs of Moses. One is found, we're not going to go there, but there's one in chapter 15 of Exodus that commemorates their passing out of bondage, out of Egypt and so forth. And then there's another song of Moses that God gave him. That's found in Deuteronomy chapter 31, 32. And that song is, it's about really Israel turning away from God. And it's basically about the rock. And of course, we know that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that it says in one place in that song that our rock is not like their rock. Our rock, capital R, is not like their rock, little r. And that's real good reading in Deuteronomy 31 and 32. Most of the commentators seem to think that this song of Moses is going to be the one that was in Exodus chapter 15, where it was a song of victory. Nevertheless, they're both good songs, and I'd encourage you to look at both of those. And that's all I have. Thank you.